It's shut off. We just painted 679.
Go ahead and open up this regular meeting of the Favada County Board of Supervisors. We start with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Go ahead and open up into the County Administrator's Report. Mr. Nichols?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Board. I apologize for the Spartan digs tonight, but the scales of justice trump the wheels of government. But they did find the guy not guilty, so I don't know if that means anything. We'll cover a few things
for him
tonight.
It means that he's not guilty.
Yes.
It means a lot for that guy, isn't it?
Yeah. Another win for the defense.
Tom will always prevail.
Oh.
Win or lose.
Acquitted or convicted, the Commonwealth always prevails.
The summer reading program at the library kicked off last week, and, or I guess maybe week before last now.
Last week?
Okay, well, I was on vacation. So I didn't get to participate in the 260 people attending, but that's a pretty big crowd to go into our library and had a really great time. And I think I'm almost glad that I was on vacation, but if I had my granddaughter there, we would got lost in all those people.
I thought libraries were supposed to be for quiet.
Quiet times, yeah.
But these Coke can noise amps.
They're very progressive. But anyway, there's a lot of things coming up, so please watch the website and the news and the announcements about things throughout the summer that Cindy Hoffman and her staff have going at the library. Barbecue Bands and Bruises this Saturday. I think everybody knows about this. Kind of signs everywhere. 10 to 6. The weather forecast looks really great. And they'll have the championship barbecue contests going on, the live bands, and then those darn microbrews from Virginia Breweries, and lots of things for the kids and for the family. So a really great event coming up. Hard to beat last year's, but we hope this one will be even better. And the Parks and Rec staff and the Public Works staff have really done a lot of work to support the chamber and making sure it's a good event.
The grass looks nice.
It does. They've finished mowing most of it today because the wiring got a little drier. And they've got, I think the utilities are they finished today?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Dual breaking and preceding strong.
Yeah, but I was down there first thing this morning and they were getting near done, so looks good. Mr. Will Shaw is Will here?
Yes.
Mr. Will Shaw is our new Assistant Public Works Director and Project Manager. Joined us this Monday. And we're really pleased to have Will on board. Will is just north of the border in Zion's Crossroads in the Louisa side. We're going to try to convert him to a Favada County taxpayer as soon as we can. But he comes to us from UVA, where he's got many years of really great experience in building maintenance and management of programs and staff. And so we're really pleased to have him on board. So Will will be the Assistant Public Works Director and resides out in Public Works, where Mr. Stevens' office is.
Great. Welcome aboard.
I want to give an update on the park and ride. I think Mr. Chester's seen this. We did get the agreement finally back from the owner of the Jefferson Center lot over by Food Line, across from Food Line. The agreement has two additional stipulations in it. They will allow 15 spaces. I'll show you that on this map. And they want trash receptacles put in that area and emptied twice a week by the county. We don't have any particular problem doing that. We have the receptacles, and we can certainly make a run there and check them. It may end up being they only need to be emptied once a week because there may not be very much in them, but we'll see. But that's the stipulation in it. So in this agreement, they've added those two provisions, the 15 parking spaces. It's only been changed from our original. And then the other annotation here about the dump trash receptacles in the area. Let me show you the map of what they're talking about. This is the Food Line's over here across the street, over the top left up here. This is where the jewelry store is right here, and there's a nail place, and then some restaurants along here. This is the new Goodwill down at the bottom of the screen. And then right here, this is that empty parking lot. But what they do is designate the interior part of that, where the little Goodwill drop-off building is right now. And so that actually works pretty fine. It's close to the street. We can put a couple trash receptacles there, put the signage up, they'll mark it off. So from a staff point of view, I think we're ready to go. As long as the board concurs, I'll get this signed off, and then we'll get the receptacles and signs in place, and then do kind of a flashy announcement on it. And appreciation to Mr. Smith for getting started, and for Mr. Chester this through, and Lisa Barani from TJPDC, who spearheaded from that end.
What was the time frame on this, again?
It starts whenever we designate.
And last...
It goes on, I'm not sure if the first one's for a one-year time, but it can be renewed or terminated at any time. Let's see, I don't recall.
That's all right.
Well, I can find it here quick.
I was thinking maybe it was, but I wasn't sure either.
It's subject to early termination.
Right, we have a termination provision as well as the owner. There we go, 90-day, right, reserve 90-day written termination notice. And the term is for 1 year, at which time we'll automatically renew from year to year.
Yeah.
So we'll try and see if it's really just as simple as putting some signs up, putting two trash cans there, and checking it periodically, then probably will work out good for citizens and not be too onerous on staff. So with the board's concurrence, I'll move forward with that.
Sure.
I think, Mr. Weaver, you asked about on the last accounts payable, there was about a $4,000 bill on there for infield mix.
Yes.
For the ball fields. This is the information about that. There's a list of bullets there, but what happens is you bring this special soil in that has additives in it. It makes it much easier to keep the fields rehabbed and ready to go. They drain much better. You don't have to work the field in advance as much. And then throughout the season, it's much easier to manage that. So it saves both time and staff, save money and staff time on there. And when you look at these pictures, Mr. Smith is chiming here anytime, you'll see that the fields have a pretty big drop-off lip. So they have to be filled in with topsoil a lot of times anyway. The new stuff actually holds better, and drains better, prepares better, even after rains. So instead of having these big drop-offs on the fields like this, trip hazards and problematic for the kids playing, it fills that in, levels it out. These are the old pictures. It was too wet to last couple days to get a new picture. But once that's down, it makes the fields much easier to manage. And you would have to do annual maintenance with putting new dirt and topsoil on anyway. This just happens to be a better model to do that.
Yeah, I just thought it looked strange in with those bills, the way it appeared.
Yeah, and it's on the Parks and Rec, under Parks and Rec bills.
Right.
And when you talk about field mix, it does look kind of odd that it's for maintenance of our competition field.
Thank you.
Did we do that work, or we had somebody else to do it?
We paid someone to come in. There's a professional vendor who does this for a living.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of that expertise on staff. One of the things that we paid for with some of the new staff coming on board, and then with some training dollars to put in the budget, is to elevate some of the training levels of staff in different areas of the county so we can do more in-house. But you have to have adequate training and resources for them to be able to do that. So. We're certainly kicking off that way. But we have a plan in place to demolish that old pole barn at Pleasant Grove, the one that's propped up with 2x4s and is near to falling down. You wouldn't want to remove either one of those two beams that are here, and you wouldn't really want to walk under it. The Historical Society has moved out the equipment that is in there, and it'll be a staff demolition, and then the ground will be ready for be able to put up a new pole barn there sometime in the future. But it'll just be blank space and probably receded for the time being, but it's still a good place for another pole barn. But this one's not salvageable in its current form. And you can see these are just kind of old rough-cut
tree posts
that were put in there. I wish we could have gotten it down before barbecue bands and brews, but there just hasn't been time and adequate weather to do that. And so it's fenced off with this orange all around it to keep folks out. Even the little train, the kids' train that we use for old farm days, has been moved out of there just so that we don't have kids trying to jump in there and play on it during barbecue bands and brews after they've had one too many.
Barbecues.
Root beers.
So anyway, that'll be happening over the next 30 days or so. And let's see. I want to talk about a little bit, and Barbara, Mrs. Horlocker can chime in on this any time, please. We had talked a number of different times before about carryovers from one fiscal year to the next, and we've kind of bantered back and forth on that. We do have very good, and I gave you a copy of it with your package there, we do have very good rules in place already to govern carryovers, reappropriations from one year to the next. But let me go through a couple items about that. Since we're at the end of the fiscal year, you may see requests coming forward. Based on existing policy, all unencumbered, not to uncommitted, not obligated funds lapse at the end of the fiscal year. Now, there are some exceptions for grants and capital projects and things like that, but in general, supplies budget in the county administrator's office, just because there's money left, it lapses at the end of the fiscal year. All encumbrances, all things that are already obligated for specific expenditures, will automatically be reappropriated for that same purpose to fiscal year 14, but that's when you already have essentially a contract in place, but it hasn't been paid yet, or something like that. So the money will carry forward for that purpose. Supplemental appropriations, things that you approve special for a special project in fiscal 13 or in prior years, that carries forward for that same special purpose. So those are automatic things, like that insurance recovery cost that we got from the $65,000 from the courthouse lightning strike a year or so ago. Those carry. Then on the things that have to be requested, departments can certainly request a reappropriation of funds from one year to the next on unencumbered, not committed, not obligated funds, but the policy says for specifically defined projects not started by June 30th. So as an example, let's say the board has already approved a special project. I'll use the example of the Commonwealth Attorney's Office. This budget season, you approved about $17,000 or $18,000 for a new software package that they use to manage their office. They haven't been upgraded in years and years, and this is the new way their association said to go. It was approved in the budget. If I don't know that this is the case, but if, for instance, that was not able to be obligated because of contractual requirements by the end of the year, they would come forward with a budget request and say, we'd like to carry this money forward for that purpose, and it would be only for that intended purpose. Departments could come forward and ask for undesignated money from a variety of different sources to come forward for specific purposes. In general, though, you see every single one of those, and you would have to approve or disapprove every single one of those, except for the ones on the previous page, those automatic ones that are just part of normal budgetary processes. So, because somebody have excess funds in personnel lines, or supply lines, or equipment lines, or travel lines, those cannot be automatically carried forward. You'll see every one of those. In general, I've made known to department heads to follow this. Don't bring a proposal forward and expect my recommendation for approval coming to the board unless it is for a specific ongoing purpose that's already been defined and just couldn't be completed by the fiscal year end. Now, I wouldn't necessarily stop it coming from the board, but I may not recommend approval before it comes to you, and then you all have to make a decision.
But historically, it has gone to the fund balance.
Oh, yes.
As you explained it.
That's right. And everything that does not go forward automatically gets unencumbered, it's not encumbered, goes back in the fund balance automatically. Yes. And so then schools have a couple different things that may or may not... that was very dramatic.
I like that.
What, Mia?
Schools may have some things that are automatically reappropriated, like some of their external funding sources that come in, but they also can come and request through the Board of Supervisors approval to carry some money forward for a specific purpose. Last year, I think there was $67,000 or $66,000 that they carried forward that you approved. It wasn't for any intended purpose at the time, just general obligations. But in general, normally would come forward, schools or department heads would come forward with a specific defined purpose that's an ongoing purpose that just hadn't been obligated by year end. So that's what you'll see in this budget year, at this budget year end, and those rules are already in place in county policy. Any questions I can answer on that, or Mrs. Warlock? The Fork Union Firehouse, spectacular. If you haven't been down there, go take a look at it. While it does look a little different externally, it was just a matter of this was a grant-funded project versus county-funded project. The timing was different. It's largely the same inside. It's beautiful. It's really functional. The parking lot areas are fantastic. I think they're mostly moved in, but once they do, they'll be setting up a grand opening and make a big splashy event. We're really pleased about it, but there are likely to be some cost overruns on that, like most projects. It's not a 8 or 10 or 20% cost overrun, which is good. It's more in the 1 or 1.5 or 2%. It may be up to as much as $30,000. We just don't know final bills on that yet, but I'll bring that to the board once we know those numbers.
That's over the projected cost?
Yes.
That we had to redo it over to keep it under cost?
Right.
Or keep it at cost?
Yes.
So that doesn't sound very good after already gone through the second time to do that.
Well, things like Mrs. Gruder or Mr. Stevens can give you some examples, but things like the last minute stuff where the water's not good enough to charge the fire system in the firehouse and has to be run for days and has to have special filters and changes, those were things that were completely unexpected. And you wouldn't normally have to do that in another building, but the state fire code wouldn't allow it to be hooked up until that was managed. So there's a variety of things like that. You'll get a running list of what those costs are, and I'll bring that forward to you.
How much do we have in contingency on that? On like that 10% project? Or 5%? Yes, when it was built. We always have a contingency, usually on.
I don't think there is any contingency.
You put no contingency in on that.
Well, it's not a matter of I had a budget that I was assigned. There was no contingency in the budget.
They usually do that. They have a contingency in that.
I don't know.
I was just checking.
Pretty most people that were...
Now, I know you had a lot of trouble, legal problems
the county,
and all that.
Then the county put in $385,000 to the project.
Mm-hmm.
And was that... I had understood that all of that may not have been used. Do we know?
It will have been used.
Oh, okay.
Did you understand there was maybe a contingency?
And I think the 385
or something like 10%. Usually are these projects.
I think the 385 was probably part of that.
I don't know. It just raises questions.
Mm-hmm. Water under the bridge now.
Yep, sure is.
Or into the firehouse.
Water out. Lawn too, I guess.
That's why the firehouse is there. So
we'll take a look at it, The historic courthouse lighting upgrade has been finished, which is good. At the bottom of the steps coming to the parking lot, there's two light poles there, kind of historic looking. And the lights that are at the top of the porch now are on daylight timers, so they're on automatically at night and then go on automatically to dusk, so we don't have to worry about turning those on and off. In the very back of the courthouse, where you go down the steps to the basement, is where the light switch is for the front porch. So it's kind of hard to turn that on, run through the dark to get to the other ones, turn this on, and then get out. So they come on and off automatically. So I appreciate Public Works getting that
Have any signs to let people know that those steps are not an ordinary step up?
I think I'll have to talk to the Historical Society.
See if you can do anything. It's a big
step. They've not been real thrilled about us doing any iron railings or signage or things like that. That's why we at least tried to adjust the lighting quickly. So I'll turn your question over to my colleagues at the Historical Society. Next meeting of the Board of Supervisors is the 3rd. That's the day before the 4th of July holiday. It's a 2 p.m. meeting. I don't have anything planned for an evening work session that night unless someone has something they would have intended for that one. Because it was the day before the holiday. I hadn't started it on.
Right.
And I was trying to get it in all the places.
Really good idea.
I'll be out of the office on Friday to go to retirement ceremony in Norfolk, but Mrs. Horlock will be coming. I'll just be out to dinner.
Okay.
Back Friday night. And then just some updates on a variety of things. The voluntary contributions plan is still underway. You've seen that. These other ones are. The ones at the bottom, fiscal year funds carryover, we've just covered that. And then these other four, we're going to have presentations for you at that July 3rd afternoon meeting. On the four things that have been on there the longest, the wastewater treatment and cost of buildings and utilities and the full function. So the staff will be doing briefings on those on the July 3rd meeting.
I'd like to see that one.
Yep. Yeah, we all are very interested in that. It's just been a lot going on, and I apologize for the delay on it, but we had to wait until we were all on board a year before we could
figure out
how to do that. So anyway, we will have it at the July 3rd meeting for all of you. And then finally, I'd just like to publicly acknowledge Pat's really amazing work here in Fluvanna County. As of July 1st, she will have been here 13 years. Her last day is next Friday when she transfers to the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. But it's hard to measure the financial and the services and support impact of all the things that she's worked on in those years. And you don't replace those kinds of functions. You just hope to do well. And so we'll see how everything works out. But it won't be Pat's touch on that. But really appreciate Mrs. Group's hard work over the last 13 years in serving Fluvanna County. The good benefit for us is that she now becomes a regional asset, so when she works on something for one locality, we will still carry the benefit of knowledge about that because the because we work closely with Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission, too. And so I appreciate very much Mrs. Group's hard work and dedication to Fluvanna County. And she'll be nearby and still be working with us closely on the Columbia Project as that moves on. And we will certainly be tapping her for information requests when we can't find the last key to open the last drawer of the last thing we needed to find on a project. So,
appreciate very much Mrs. Group's hard work. Thank you very much.
And with that, if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Questions for the county administrator.
Now, I just want to, very quickly, I mean, obviously we've just mentioned Pat and Barrister with a round of applause and all that fun stuff, but out of the few people I've had the opportunity to interact, I've had the opportunity to work with a great deal of people, and they're obviously you enjoy working with a great number of them. But I think the absolute world of Pat Crute. There's one of the few people that you can actually point to and by name. Not to say that other members of the county staff aren't likewise, but you can tangibly see the work that Pat has done for this community, and you can point to a number of projects and a number of accomplishments, buildings. Things that otherwise would not have gotten done without Pat Groot. I know that, our first meeting, to point the point was, if there's anything I can do to help you, Sean, let me know. And my first comment was the town of Columbia. and certainly we've come a lot closer with the community block development grant there than I think a lot of people would have expected on that. It's one of Virginia's oldest incorporated towns, and if we succeed on that one, I think that's something that we can pass forward in the next 50 to 100 years. There are very few things that people do for government that will last that long and have that kind of impact on a community, and to know that in one sense we'll be losing Pat Group, and in another sense she'll be transcending us and doing this for the region, and our loss is certainly Thomas Jefferson's gain, and you have absolutely no idea how much I appreciate your service here and what you've done, what you've taught me, effectively. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you've actually done. So.
Well, you're welcome.
Great.
If I might address the board.
Absolutely.
I very much appreciate the opportunity to have worked here in the last 13 years. I've accomplished quite a bit through the efforts of the team that we have here. I know that when I first came here, after we did the water tank and the sewer system, I know now more about water tanks and the sewer system than I ever thought I would know. But we were able to bring that asset to the county, along with the Heritage Trail. We secured funding for the Sheriff's Office and what became the library for planning there. And we've done a lot that I'm really proud of. We have an excellent reputation for collaborating with nonprofits in the county, so the private-public partnerships have been exemplary here, and I hope they continue. So I just wanted to thank you all for the opportunity to serve.
Yeah, thank you very much. If you could make a conservative believe in government, Pat, you succeeded in me. So,
counting away. So.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Any other comments or questions for the county administrator at this point in time? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move into our first round of public comment. Again, please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Mr. Moss.
Martin Moss from the Columbia District. I'm here tonight as the president of the Historical Society and the Fluvanna Heritage Trail Foundation. I'm here for one very simple reason, to honor and thank Pat Crute for her 13 years of service to Fluvanna County citizens. She has done an absolutely fantastic job. It's hard to imagine what Fluvanna County would be like today without her very careful and innovative approach to bringing grant money from all kinds of sources, private foundations, state and federal government, into this county. Pat, in her comments, mentioned the combination of private-public partnerships. I don't think most of the people in Fluvanna County recognize how rich that partnership is in Fluvanna County and how that has improved the lives of our citizens. And I'm very proud that the Heritage Trail and Historical Society have been a part of that. Judy Michelson, who's our executive director of the Historical Society, is here tonight. Pat was her idea to use the current Fort Union Fire Station being in the floodplain to use that as the very basis of putting in a stimulus grant for the new Fort Union Fire Station. It was a very simple but brilliant idea, and it worked, and we got $1.4 million for that new fire station, and that's sort of typical of the work that she did. So I have two presentations, and Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I'd like to call
please
her up and Pat, please. I don't mean to look bad. You're not easily impressed, anyway. From the Historical Society, the Board of Directors of the Savannah Historical Society honors Pat Burge, whereas Pat Burge has been an effective and active partner for the last 13 years in multiple projects of the Historical Society to the benefit of thousands of Savannah citizens. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Historical Society expresses its deep appreciation and thanks for her dedication to preserving Savannah's rich historical heritage. So, thank you.
Thank you.
That's for you. And from the Savannah Heritage Trail Foundation, Pat Burge has played an important role in the development of the Savannah Heritage Trail for 13 years, including the Sandy Beach Trail picnic pavilions, new trailhead, summer kitchen, and coordination of all projects of Savannah County. The Board of Directors of the Savannah Heritage Trail Foundation wishes to express its gratitude and thanks for everything she has done to make the trail system a success. We really, really do thank you.
Thank you. You made me cry.
Oh.
We're supposed to do that.
Sorry.
Thank you, Marvin.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address the board at this time? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the first round of public comment. Moving to our public hearing, tab V, ZMP 1301. Mr. Tugwell.
Zoning request. Zone 4.81 acres, 8.41 acre parcel of the 14 unit planning area. Total zoning history, site development plan was approved. Mobile home sales at the auction house on April 26, 1999. Site development plan was recently approved for religious assembly in the part of the parcel that fronts on James Madison Highway. Special use permit was approved for an auction house on May 19, 1999, and also a special use permit for mobile home sales on May 19, 1999. Rezoning was approved from I-1 to B-1 on November 7, 1999, and then the entire parcel now is zoned B-1. So locational view, subject parcel. Here at the corner of Creasy Town and James Madison Highway. This 100 by 200 metal building is the part of the parcel that we wish to rezone. I won. This is an aerial image. You can see again the two buildings on the property. 2723 James Madison Highway is the building most recently approved for religious assembly. And if this zoning is approved, the latter portion with the larger building would go from B1 to I1. State applicant sketch plan. This is a more clear idea of what they're requesting. Originally, they considered subdividing the property, and they no longer wish to subdivide the property. Mr. Payne clarified at the Planning Commission meeting that they're not obligated to subdivide the property in order to rezone the property. So, they are proposing an entrance off of Creasy Town. Photographs for the board. This is the subject building. Again, it's a 100 by 200 metal building. There's a substantial amount of vegetation around this building. The property to the west is zoned R1. Property to the north is zoned A1. There's a good amount of existing vegetation. The screen is photographs. The building in the foreground, again, is the where the religious assembly was approved recently. They have submitted a site plan. Site plan for that building includes renovated facade that would frontal 15, additional landscaping. So. This is on the northern border between the subject property and the A1 zone property. Again, a good amount of existing vegetation. They are requesting additional rezoning. They have proffered out indoor shooting ranges. Indoor shooting ranges are allowed by right in the I-1 zoning district. And they are voluntarily proffering out indoor shooting ranges. If approved, again, by way of required site plan, they would demonstrate required screening between joint properties. They do meet the required setback, which is 100 feet off the Creasy Town right-of-way, and a 50-foot parking setback. There's also a 50-foot setback between this property and the adjacent I-1 property, excuse me, A-1 property. Too. It's located in the southern fringe of the Fort Union Community Planning Area in neighborhood residential. Some small commercial and institutional uses are encouraged in this area, and it's located well outside the Fort Union proper. I believe this building was previously used as a lumber supply business. Foreground building was retail, and I believe the latter portion was storage. So my understanding is that although somewhat industrial in nature, they were good neighbors and was compatible with that area at the time. Back at the May 22nd Planning Commission meeting, the commission did discuss the building setbacks between the buildings. It was clarified that the building as it is in conformance with both B1 and I-1 zoning building setback requirements. And the topic of this subdividing the property was discussed. Again, Mr. Payne clarified that it's not uncommon for there to be two uses on the same parcel that are obligated to subdivide the property in order to successfully rezone. And with that, the Planning Commission voted to recommend approval by a vote of 5-0. In conclusion, it appears to me the intent of the comprehensive plan and that in some cases, some small commercial institutional uses may be appropriate in the neighborhood residential community element. He has proffered out indoor shooting ranges. Again, it's formerly used as light industry. There is some commercial uses in the area on the eastern side of James Madison Highway. Considering this rezoning request, the board may consider how this request does or does not align with the goals or objectives of the comprehensive plan. And with that, I'll be happy to answer the questions you have. And Mr. Matt, the applicant.
Any questions to the board? None at this time? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tug. We'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. Again, please remember to keep your comments directed to the board within 5 minutes and on topic. Is there anyone wishing to address the board on this topic? Seeing none, we'll
close. You may want to call for the applicant. I don't know the applicant where he has the right to speak.
Is the applicant here?
I'm here.
Would you like to?
If you have any questions, I think Steve really hit all the points. I don't have any questions.
Are there any questions? In your name again, sir?
Kaplan Metz.
Any questions? None. How many people do you, parishioners, do you intend to have within the
parishioners?
Within the facility? Or?
I think they're expecting in that front facility, I'm going to guess around 100 maybe.
Okay, so parking obviously would be an issue.
No, and they've got their own parking in front. We're looking to go in from the side and push it down.
Okay, and do you intend to use the entire 20,000 square feet there? Or? Whatever God determines, okay. All right, thank you very much. Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Any questions from the board at this point in time? Hearing none, do we have a vote?
Okay. Okay. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZMP 13 1601 with respect to 4.81 acres of tax map 59, Section 8, Parcel 8, subject to a submitted proffer.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Thank you very much. I'll round out our public hearing. Moving on to action matters, tab W, local youth football team, 7th grade level. Mr. Smith.
At our last meeting, we brought this information to your attention regarding the youth football team that we got the opportunity to fund. And I've gone back and adjusted some of the budget items regarding the team insurance and affiliation with the AAU. It's actually decreased from the last time we spoke. So essentially the insurance was cut down to about $1,100, or from $1,300 to $200, but we would only need to pay the $200 initiation fee. And this total of the variance would actually be $1,100 less than what this variance is in rent.
Okay. Any questions on the board?
I'm sorry. I have a note here so you'll see it. That was the fiscal year 14 number, the 19,000, although reduced by 1,100, as you just said. But this is the fiscal year 15 continuation budget, about $300 a year. Certainly that would fluctuate a little bit, but with the fees from the children, that should offset largely most of these costs. But you know, then you have to figure in, you know, 5 years down the line, you're going to replace a bunch of gear and things like that. So there'll be a periodic cost to it, but this is the nominal cost in the following, first year following.
My only question is that this information wasn't available during budget season to put in with your Parks and Rec budget.
Correct. We just heard about it.
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Oh, yeah, no, we just heard about it when Mr. We had heard about it. Mr. Kenny actually sent the request to us.
Yeah, I have problems with it. Certainly, I've had some time to think about it since the last meeting that we had discussed that, and the thing that really sticks out to me, board contingency. And most people know how I feel about that. It's not in the budget, so that means we're going to have to take it out of the board contingency, and That's, in my opinion, too much money to pull out arbitrarily, not budgeting or anything like that. It was $100 or $200, maybe so, but that amount of money that we're asking for, not budgeted, I just don't think it's right, and I think if that's going to be done, it's put in a budget in the future, and let the board then look at it as a whole, with the whole budget. So I won't approve it.
My problem with it is setting a precedent. This opens the door to lacrosse coming to us and saying they need $15,000 to start a lacrosse team or another traveling soccer team or something. You can come up with any number of needed or possibly really nice things to have, but we'll be obligated morally to accept it, not legally, just morally as a person. And once we accept this one, setting a precedent to do so, I think it should be in the budget. So if something comes up during the year, that you'd like to see added to your department or any other department here in the county, that's the time to do it, not in the middle of the year. We hold the schools to their budget. We hold every other department to their budget. And I think, you know, as much as we really would like to do something, we have to stay steady and go with what we have. We're doing a lot of good things with Parks and Rec right now. And they're approved things. And to throw these things in may skew next year's plans, because we're going to have a tight budget next year. So that's my reasoning on it.
I thought about this this project too as well. And I'm, you know, as much as I really would like to do something like this, I'm concerned about, is this something we really, this county government should be involved with at this time? I'm wondering if this is going to be something that Parks and Recs is going to do, that they probably should be talking about these programs as at the beginning of the budget season, and saying just what they intend to do at this time. it is it's a small amount of money, but still, it does set a precedent for us to move to continue this process. And is that something we really want to do? And again, that's something that we should have discussed in the budget process.
I guess my rejoinder to all that, and I agree with the vast majority of that. Obviously, we discuss these things in a budget context, and so be it. These are one-time costs, by and large, though. I mean, the process is self-sustaining after you go ahead and you buy the equipment. It's not the only set of equipment that Parks and Rec owns. It's not the only set of equipment that Parks and Rec allows citizens of Vivenna County to use. And they are most certainly paying their own way, and after 5 years or whatever, I think we had assurances in the last meeting that the youth through fundraisers or whatever would actually start stepping up to that cost and replacing their equipment. So in terms of precedent, one would like to think that this is actually one of those quote-unquote public-private partnerships where we go ahead and meet the initial capital expense, the one-time capital expense, and then have the citizens maintain the equipment and build up around that so that they're not constantly relying on government to go ahead and replace those items. To me, this seems like the right way to go. Rather than posing it as an either or, as a chicken and egg, it's more of a horse cart kind of scenario. So to my estimation, this is exactly where we want to go. You know, is there a better context to have it? I'm sure that we could, any argument could be made to beat an idea good, bad, or otherwise with that. But for this, it's not like we're, it's not like this is, out of the ordinary wild stuff. Most localities do pick up the cost for park and rec materials. For the gap that you have between junior varsity and high school sports, things of that nature, and then, you get down to the Pee Wee League levels, we do have a gap here. These are the students that, once they come out of this kind of a program, they go straight into the JV. So, in any event, that's my thought, and I support this.
I support this as well. And I don't think that if we don't open up a floodgate and that we're going to have people standing in line to get some new program going. But even if we did have a program periodically that's coming, then why can't we support them and get them on their feet, and then they can stand on their own feet and mm-hmm. go ahead and continue and keep it going. I think that's what we're all about as Board of Supervisors, is to help out. I mean, these are many, many young people who will be benefiting from this program for years and years. And I think they're going to do it anyway, but it'll probably take more time. And I don't know if they'll be able to do it or not, but I'd like to take some of the burden off of the adult individuals who've come before us by helping them out, by giving them that startup money. I appreciate the fact that people want to see the gaps, and they're willing to give their time and effort mm-hmm. to try to do the best for our youth. And our youth need to be engaged. They need to be doing something. And what better way than to have dedicated adults working with them, showing them discipline, working together, team. I mean, they have to work hard, get their homework done, pass their grades, and play ball, learning how to lose, learning how to win. Seventh grade kids, I like to flush them. Yeah, that's weird. In that middle school year. That middle school year. Sixth graders are good. Eighth graders are getting ready to mature. The seventh graders in between. They need to be doing something.
I agree. Mr. Nichols.
This is clearly an issue that came up after budget season, so we certainly didn't put it there. We did not put it there on purpose. It was just like
Of course.
My two concerns long term are the tail of things like this, and while we've identified some costs, small costs, in second year and third year, there will be tail costs, and we can't quantify it here. There are going to be costs that pop up. I do appreciate the fact that I'm assuming that the organization will try to help be self-sustaining and raise funds through their auspices. But the one thing I want to caution you is that every one new project on here, on a five-person staff, means they're stretched a little farther and a little farther and a little farther. We don't have a lot of staff in Parks and Rec. We have five people, including the director. And if this gets approved, great. I think it's a fantastic program, and I appreciate the hard work of citizens and the Parks and Rec staff of putting the numbers together. But I just want to caution you on the tail of these things, both staff time and then the dollars tail that comes down the line.
Sure. And I think all the more reason to have those volunteers inside the tent working with us. So, okay. In any event, so do we have a motion?
It's a motion already. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the proposed budget transfer of $19,965 from the FY14 Board Contingency Budget to the Department of Parks and Recreation for a U-12 youth football team that will offset the additional expenses related to this new program.
Just to be clear, that was a 14, not a 19?
No, it's 19 because we don't. The 19 has to transfer.
Understood.
Fees.
Understood. Understood. Then it's reimbursed. Okay. Understood. Understood.
And the 19 might actually be a little bit lower than that, but we won't transfer any more than what the 18,865 is the current number now.
Okay.
The working number.
Okay.
But even though the motion has that, we wouldn't transfer more than what the requirement is based on.
Okay. Motion is made by Mrs. Booker. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The chair votes aye. Passes 3-2. Allenbrook and Weaver dissenting. Moving on to tab X, reclassification of part-time records administrator, Mr. Washington, or Sheriff Washington. Good guy.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, one note about this. I think I sent this out a follow-up, but your original package had two positions in there for reclassification. It's actually just one position. One of the other ones was just a position change, not a reclassification, so it's within the authority. So the one remaining one there is the part-time records administrator that this document covered.
Okay. Sheriff Washington. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Thank you, Mr. Nichols, for explaining that second part. What this is, we are transferring, changing some of the responsibilities of the office in order to enhance our operational needs for the office, and this is one of them. As you can imagine, they're untasked with not just with the local laws, but a lot of laws that affect us with the federal level that we may not always take adhere to from the standpoint of understanding. And so as we grow as an agency and have grown as a county, so are our operational demands for protecting and securing and enhancing the evidence that collected in cases that we deal with. So as you can imagine, that workload has increased over the last several years, and so because of that, we've got the need that we have to have someone that can take a more day-to-day interest in securing and being accountable for the evidence. Not that we're not already accountable, but the workload has increased. So we unfortunately have had to look at deep within our current resources because we don't have additional funding for more staff personnel, and so we've had to realign duties as well as eliminate some positions in order to meet this demand as well. So this position currently will be taking the place of our records administrator, who those duties will be reassigned to some agency along with their current job. And then we will be having someone to work part-time, approximately 3 days a week, to administer our evidence. Now, when I say evidence, that's a lot of different things, everything from just
the amount of stuff that we collect for years and years and years. And some things we have to keep for a long period of time. So appeals is a prime example. If someone is on an appeal, we can't destroy the evidence. And it may be for years, appeal cases. And we do have current cases that are on appeal without count. As well as we have not just the small, most people focus today on DNA, but we have a lot of other tangible property as well that we have to keep, and that we have to keep in certain ways. You know, climate control is an issue that I'm dealing with right now, I'm dealing with certain things. So those are the types of things that we find that it's about time where we have to enhance our ability to secure evidence for the protection of defense as well as the Commonwealth as a whole. So we're looking to ask for your support in allowing us to reclassify the position. We're not asking for any funds because we have the current funds available to meet our needs as far as the pay is concerned. But the position is in the guideline and in line with the county's current policy.
Any questions for the sheriff? None?
No. You had to take a position away.
We have two, but we talked about this one. But it is two positions. The position that Mr. Nichols is talking about falls in line where we can do that administratively within the guidelines of the current policy. So we can have to help that one more to the board after we reviewing it. But this one is also another position that we have. So okay. We have currently had two civilian positions that we're actually eliminating. Mm-hmm. We're aligning those duties to full-time staff that's currently there as well, and then just reclassify positions so we can bring more people. So we're not adding to the staff, mm-hmm. we're just replacing those positions.
Okay.
And you don't need those civilian staff?
Well, we need them because every time you take one duty and take those job responsibilities and
somebody else has to do it.
Means that there's more work for them. And it's tough sometimes because we want our people to be as proficient and can in everything, but the reality is the more workload you give them, it's hard for them to become proficient at a lot of tasks.
When the better way to go about this would be asking for an additional step?
Well, my answer would be yes. But unfortunately, you just had a situation where it's not within the budget. It was requested within the budget, but it was not approved. And so we'll be looking at that again
as the budget
process comes about.
I'm looking at the majority of this board just approved $20,000 for a Parks and Rec item, and this is a public safety item. So I put the weight on public safety. It's one of the three or four things that are absolutes with this county.
Well, so
what I'm saying to you is I don't want to now take a position that's $20,000, let's say, and say you need to cut two positions to fill this position to stay within your budgetary FY14 grounds. And this is exactly what I talked about 10 minutes ago, is it, we've opened the door to every department to come in here and make these requests. In this case, this is public safety.
Thank God for precedence. Have a strong record.
My point is here, I'd rather see this filled with an extra person and not delete two civilian positions.
Well, I'll just say this, the two individuals that we all replaced have been with the agency for a total of 12 years.
Right.
One's been up to 7 years and one's been five. And as we know, anytime you're, whether you're part-time or full-time, it's a person. And they are carrying responsibility for the agency.
Yeah, I think this issue should be brought up in the next budget year. And, you know, you've already shown us a way that you can do it. And if you want another person in, I think the proper time is for him to bring it up in the next budget year. That's what I said before. And I'll say it again.
But he's not asking for another person.
I know it. I know
it's
not.
Yeah, but I don't want to see him cut two people to fall within the his ramifications. You see, he's a department head that's doing this the proper way. He's saying, I can work within the FY14 budgets that I accept it, and this is how I want to do it. And I'm saying it's not the best way to do it because I hate to see him cut two positions to fill a much needed one.
Sure.
And I keep going back to, you know, we just made a
I could say that what we just did is just as important as what the sheriff is doing. But if I feel that Sheriff Washington, if he really wanted to keep those positions or he needed that position, he would have presented it to us. He would have asked. He knows us. We know. He would have asked. He knows he can do it this way. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
You're not telling me.
I think you're giving him precisely the credit.
Yeah. You're not telling,
he does.
You're not telling
you know,
me to do this.
I'm doing it all the time, so.
Yeah. He would have been up here shackling
in the tone of the county government today. And so, if you were to say to me, Sheriff, do you really need a position? I'm going to say, yeah.
Sure.
And I do need it. There's no doubt about it. However, I'm a realistic. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that I understand that other people have needs just as well as I do. However, I can only speak for my office. My office needs are that we need the position. I need the ones I'm cutting too. And so there's a process, and my goal is to follow the process. At that point in time, will there be challenges through this process of transition? Certainly, we'll get through them. We'll make it work. It'll be tough. But there's a process, and that process is when the next budget session. I'll come back and I'll ask for things that I feel that should
be. And let's remember when he comes back that we're not going to cut it.
I just hate to lose. I hate to see him lose people with 12 years' experience to stay within the parameters of FY14.
Just as a reminder, I mean, the sheriff did come forward with the budget proposal for these people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Two part-time positions and then
so I mean,
there were positions there.
Requested. One day is one way, next day is somewhere else, right, Rick Bob?
We have a motion.
Once you say no, it's
a motion. I move to adopt and approve the reclassification of the Sheriff's Office part-time records administrator to the position of part-time deputy sheriff evidence custodian.
Second.
Motion is made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Thank you, Sheriff Washington. Moving on to tab YZ, appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals at-large position. Mr. Nichols?
So there are two people that are requesting an appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm sorry, there's a typo on there, so I just lied it out. The two people that are requesting it, Dr. Babbitt and Mrs. Eager, are both eligible through their planning commission roles. Mrs. Eager, if she were accepted, would have to drop her Ag and Forestal Advisory Committee role, because you cannot be on the BZA except if you're a planning commission or nothing else. The only thing you can be on in BZA is planning commission. You can't be on any other boards or commissions. So both these candidates would apply, would be applicable, and could meet the requirements. If Mrs. Eager is selected, then she would have to resign from the Ag and Forestal Committee, and she said she wouldn't do so.
But Sam Babbitt wouldn't have to.
Dr. Babbitt is already in the planning commission, and he can serve on BZA as I do when I was planning at BZA.
And we wouldn't have to replace.
That's right.
We
wouldn't have to
replace another position in 2 weeks.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move to recommend to the Circuit Court Sam Babbitt for appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals Board at large position with a term to begin immediately on December 31st, 2014, following the unexpired term of Wendell Pullman.
Second. Motion is made by Mr. Chester, seconded by Mr. Ullenbrock. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to appointment to the Park Works Advisory Board. Five at-large positions.
Yes.
Five vacancies, six applicants,
right.
Three of which are current members, and there's the list of the names.
The three
of
others.
Three current members and three additional, so you need to pick five of those to fill either the current members' terms or new
Okay, we have, I feel comfortable in making these reappointments. Three reappointed, and that's Scott Marshall, Libby Edwards Arbaugh, and Scott Scudamore. And we'd like Mr. Jerry Custer, and Bobby Lucid Vernon.
I'd second that.
I'm going to should I accept that as a form of a motion?
I did.
Yeah, the Park and Rec Advisory Board with a term to begin July 1st, 2013
to
expire.
I'm sorry. Do I need to do that again?
Mr. Bain?
As stated.
Okay. Motion is made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Tab B, appointment to the Agricultural Forestry Advisory Committee. Mr. Nichols?
In this case, you have two vacancies and two members who would like to be reappointed, Mr. Haney and Ms. Murdoch.
Do you have a motion?
I move to reappoint David Haney and Deborah Murdoch to the Agricultural Forestry Advisory Committee with the term to begin July 1, 2013 and terminate June 30th, 2017.
Second. Motion is made by Mr. Allenbrook, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Tab C, appointment to the Jefferson Area Board for Aging Advisory Council Committee.
Okay.
Albert Key.
I move to reappoint Mrs. Elva Key to the Jefferson Air Board of Aging Advisory Council with a term to begin July 1, 2013 and to terminate June 30th, 2015.
Second. Motion is made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Allenbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Tab D, appointment to the Jefferson Area Board of Aging Board of Directors.
Yes, I would like to make that reappointment of Mr. William Hughes to the Jefferson Area Board of Directors with a term beginning July 1, 2013 and to terminate June 30, 2015.
Is there a second? Motion is made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Chester. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Tab E, appointment to the Jaunt Board. Mr. Nichols.
And this one you have just a current
just one person.
Ms. Thomas.
Uh-huh. We have a motion.
Yeah. I move to reappoint Pat Thomas to the Joint Board with a term to begin July 1, 2013 and to terminate June 30, 2016.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Allenbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Tab F, appointment to Region 10 Community Services Board. Mr. Nichols.
Same on this one. You've got one vacancy, but you've got three applicants. Mr. Gallo would have to resign from the BZA, and he would do so. But you've got Mr. Gallo, Mr. Giles, and Dr. Ross.
I've noticed you have Laura Giles on two.
She's requested this and also requested Social Services Board. She's the only applicant for the Social Services Board.
So why don't we do Dr. Pamela Ross?
Right. I think that would
be good. Mr. Chair, I move to appoint Dr. Pamela Ross to the Region 10 Community Services Board with a term to begin July 1st, 2013 and to terminate June 30th, 2016.
Is there a second? Second. Motion is made by Mr. Chester, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Tab G, appointment to the Social Services Board. Mr. Nichols.
One applicant to fill the position that's being vacated by Ms. Bruce, who does not wish to be reappointed to the Social Services Board. This is the 14th District position.
You have a motion?
I move to appoint Laura Giles to the Social Services Board, 14th District position, with term to begin July 1st, 2013, to terminate June 30th, 2017.
We have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Chester, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It passes 5-0.
I'd like to be recorded that between Mr. Chester and I, we've covered every possible pronunciation of her name.
It's Giles.
Gotten it right once, huh?
I think it's Giles.
Ford hasn't read
what did it we before. Say it was? What did we say?
Giles.
We have no presentations for the board. We do have the consent agenda. It's tab H, minutes of June 5th, 2013. Tab I, Capital Reserve Maintenance Fund request to reconfigure the intercom and telephone communication systems in Central Elementary and West Central Primary School. Tab J, FY13 Supplemental Budget Appropriation for CSA Services. Capital Reserve Maintenance Fund request for the courthouse building HVAC.
Flash note on the screen,
dollar amount change has been reduced.
It's $7,800 is in the document that you originally got. We got another estimate today. What was it? Contaminated freon refrigerant. So it's actually higher than the $7,800 to finish that project out. This is an addendum to the original 7 $15,000 that you approved for the HVAC renovation in the courthouse.
Understood.
We continue to have problems with it. That dollar to figure just came in today. That's why I've got it added on here. And on the document itself, I just added the $3,200 on there, so it's $11,000 versus $7,800.
Okay.
It's available in the capital reserve maintenance fund, and the reason I've stuck it here now is because this is the fiscal year 13 request.
Right.
We're getting ready to close
out. Okay. Any item needs to be pulled from the consent agenda? Hearing none, somebody like to move the consent agenda?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It passes 5-0. We have any items of unfinished business before the board? Hearing none. Mr. Nichols?
Whoa.
Unfinished business and new business are two different things, Mr. Ellenbach.
That's correct.
I am aware of that. This would be new, so, okay. Unfinished business. Mr. Allenbrook.
The code compliance officer wasn't on this week's agenda.
We discussed it last week.
I know we did, and it was should have, in my mind, been put on this agenda to be discussed and voted on. It was somehow bypassed. I'd like to see it put on the next meeting's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
July 3rd agenda.
Okay, without objection?
I have information on the motion. It's ready if you so choose.
I mean, we could do it today if you want.
Well, if we just extend it to a full-time person for the rest of the year.
Well,
no, it's not a full-time.
So here's what you could do.
I was looking at 29 hours.
You can. Here's where we currently are, 20 hours. It's a non-benefit, league-eligible position, 20 hours per week. I'm using 28 because it's easier. It's a 3.5-day work week. That would be this cost for the entire year. You cannot go to 40 hours full time benefits unless you do it for an entire year, because you can't. You have to run benefits through the calendar year. So, if you were going to do something today and didn't want to do something, you want to do something short of complete full time benefits. I would recommend that 28 hours a week, and as a test, you could do that. So there's two motions here that may be applicable and may meet the needs of the board. One would be go from 20 to 28. That's a $3,300 cost between now and December 31st. And I would just do it as a test basis. If you want to go to full time, then you're going to have to do it for a year. That's a $30,000 cost.
Bob, can we put it on the next meeting on July the 3rd and have it on the agenda so that we'll know that it's going to be here? I'd forgotten about it myself.
Do you have a problem with it? I mean,
I don't know if I do or not.
Well, I don't have a problem with it.
I think we need to talk about money.
I don't know what, was it 8 hours?
Yeah.
That's a day. Yeah. Additional day.
We'll prove.
No, yeah. what I do want to do with this is 6 months. Mm-hmm. And we've discussed this in a monthly report, much like we get for building inspections,
mm-hmm.
So we can see cost against revenue, cost against benefit. Rather than making a full-time position and finding out that it's unneeded. And we're looking at 6 months going into FY15 budget season, and it's something we can look at down the road. I can't stress enough that we're not doing the job.
Well, I agree with you.
And we're not prepared for growth, because we're not keeping up with where we're at now.
No, we don't.
And that was proved. I had a meeting this week and identified some glaring misses. Yes, that have been going on for years. The individual that presently holds this position was out for over a month,
mm-hmm.
and we staff is bogged down to the point where you can't grab someone else off of staff and say go do this job for a month while this guy's out, and now we're in a deeper hole. So we're approving SUPs that we might as well just let them be on their honor system, because we're not inspecting them. We're not going back and taking a look at them. Is that fair to abutters? I'd say no, because abutters sat here in public hearings and were agreeable if X, Y, and Z was followed. Well, you know, we've been hit between the eyes with SUP approvals in the past that are followed but weren't what were intended. And here we are. If you make an ordinance, you should be able to enforce an ordinance. Otherwise, don't do it. If you pass an SUP with conditions, well, you should be able to hold that applicant to those conditions. Otherwise, just let them do what the hell they want to do. And it's the same with any law. I mean, if you're going to pass, the state does it all the time. They pass laws all the time and pass them on to the county, you know, and expect us to enforce it. So all I'm saying to you, Mr. Weaver, is if my argument is agreeable today, then it's going to be the same in 2 weeks.
Well, let's see if it is, and let's see what figures and all other than, I mean, if anything changes. I just like to look at the things. I don't...
Sure, real quick, because I know we've touched on part-time employees, and I think there's been a comment made that we don't want part-time employees in Fravana County. The real concern here, and this is maybe a little bit off track, but I guess it was the USA Today ended up having an article on it today about trying to mom local governments to go ahead and start demoting people to 28 hours so they could avoid the impact of Obamacare, for instance. Now, I know that that's an ongoing conversation amongst a number of localities, but we've had a little bit of a conversation about precedent here, and so I wonder whether or not by creating the first 28-hour per week position, are we kind of opening Pandora's box to some regard? So, in that regard, I'm a little trepidatious.
The only reason I would, if we go forward, the only reason I would recommend the 28 is truly just to avoid the cost of a full-time benefit eligible employee, because it's not a short-term thing. If you want to do a test on this, the only way to do a test is by short-term part-time increase, because you can't do that if you go to a benefit position, because I'm going to have to pay them benefits for a full year.
Right, and so, and then to Mr. Chester's point, you know, what are we solving? So, and then Mr. Weaver's point, what are we solving by adding it? So,
well, I agree with much of what Mr. Ellenbach says. What I'm concerned about is that in my estimation, it's not trying to figure out how to. It's not that we can't hold, or that Mr. Miller or Mrs. Fincham's department can't hold current SUPs accountable and track them and mark them and things. It's just never been a requirement before. It should have been a requirement in my estimation. But until this board earlier this year started asking about it, and I proposed, well, let's give you a list of here's how old they are, and Mr. Payne said, well, at the two-year mark, you can drop them off. So now Mrs. Fincham is actually tracking that. So we're going to be going aggressively after existing SUPs. Mr. Tugwell is already working on a report to look at all SUPs on how old they are, what are the meeting conditions, and then Inspector can clearly go do that. So I think we can accomplish much of what you want by changing focus, but we will see pretty quickly whether or not we're going to need additional staff manpower to do that. We're very lean in most departments and very lean in planning department already. And as growth does happen, we are going to need some help. We can't continue to do it on a shoestring. So if you want to move forward to this week or in 2 weeks, I would certainly recommend just doing it as a temporary increase in this part-time position hours, and then you will get a monthly report of what things have been accomplished during that period to track that. And that only costs, it's a benefit to the employee, they get some additional hours, but it's only about a $3,000 cost for the first 6 months of the year. Then truly, because we are in your budget season, if you find this is fruitful, growth is happening, then you can look at it on a permanent basis, or we just rescind it and go back to where we were.
What does, when we talk to the person who's doing this now, what does that person say? That he's not keeping up, or what he'd like? We had a conversation with the gentleman who is doing this now, and he knows what we need and what he's not able to do. And is 8 hours going to help him get any closer to that? I'm sure he feels overwhelmed and stressed out or whatever. I don't know.
He's already working
more hours than he's paid for.
No.
Oh, okay. No, I'm saying anymore.
Okay.
Don't say anymore.
Paid for.
go ahead. I'm sorry, Allison.
Sorry, Ms. Fetchel.
Allison.
But to add to what Mr. Nichols was saying, when the board asked about SUPs back 6 months ago, it came onto my radar, and I started thinking about it and talking to staff about it. And I have been trying. Now, we did lose half our staff, and now we're back up to a full staff of varying positions. But I have been really trying to get these SUPs reviewed and get information back to you. I've not been able to do it. And so the additional 8 hours a week, I anticipate I will be able to respond to you much more easily about that. And I really would like to respond to you.
Oh, okay. Great. That answered it. Thank you.
I might add that everyone knows me. I don't add staff. You know, that's not something that I'm known for.
Just tried to add staff to the sheriff's office, Mr. Allen.
That's right. And
that's true.
Not to leave staff.
Good important reason. In this case, it's not adding staff, I understand.
Yeah.
I will have flip off.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and include this on the next on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
So that concludes our unfinished business. Do we have any items of new business for the board?
I think the Relay for Life raised they wanted $100,000. I think they went $100,003.
Wow.
There you
That's
go.
Good. Right.
It's great. It's good. Oh, okay. Technical difficulties. Do you have any other items of new business for the board? Okay, then hearing none, we'll go ahead and open up the second round of public comments. Again, please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board? Going once, going twice. Go ahead and close the round of second round of public comment. Board's going to go ahead and enter into closed session to discuss the investment of funds and legal matters. Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.3 to discuss real estate, Section 2.2-3711A.6 investment fund, Section 2.2-3711A.7 legal matters of the Code of Virginia as amended for the purposes as discussed.
Second.
Motion is made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Ollenbrock. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. The board will now enter closed session.
Okay. If I'm ready or not, I'm ready to. I'm going to do it.
All right.
Let me get my glasses out so I can see what I'm doing, halfway what I'm doing. Mr. Chairman, I move to close meeting to adjourn. Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors. Convene again in open session. A second and a recorded vote needed.
Sir, second.
Second.
Motion is made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Ollenbrock. Mr. Chesser.
Aye.
Mr. Weaver.
Aye.
Ms. Booker.
Aye.
Mr. Ollenbrock.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Mr. Weaver.
Be it resolved to the best of my knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended. And only such public business matters as were identified in the motion of which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in a meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Is there anything else for the good of the order?
Wow.
Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Okay, remember, July 3rd, 2 o'clock, no meeting session.
No evening session.
Yeah. We sort of stopped having those,
is that,
right?
Is
unless
that,
they're absolutely
necessary. Is that a gift to us?